The front seven is not very good. The players are not very good. The players are not very good.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. This season is in the books. Sad times on the Ira Kaufman podcast, but exciting times. Are we charting a new course, Ira?
Tickets available.
Yeah, tickets still available. Or is it going to be status quo? I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. The Saints could not pull it off against the Falcons, and the Bucks finished in second place officially, with the Falcons coming in third. The Panthers head to the playoffs. We don't know what's happening yet, Ira. The games are still going on, but we got together.
We know there's going to be a game in Charlotte next weekend.
There will be a game in Charlotte, and there's a lot going on, a lot we got to get to. And Sage, Bill Curry Ford, all new January offers are coming, so we'll see what those look like. But you know what, Ira? Monday still has the last day of all these great year-end offers and lease deals and 0% financing.
That's a playoff organization right there. Bill Curry Ford. They're in postseason form.
Bill Curry Ford, the first family of Ford dealers in Tampa. First family, that means 1960 they opened up the doors, the Curry family, and they're still rolling with the family.
DeKemper hadn't ordered his first bowl of gumbo in 1960.
That's true. I wasn't breathing yet. Yeah,
a long time ago.
And they are still rolling. Great used selection, service, body work, biggest service department in Florida. Loaner vehicles. They'll do work at your home. At your home. Mobile service. Sean Sullivan, the general manager. He loves Bucks fans. He's struggling with all of you out there right now. He's happy to talk to you. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. He will give you guidance, which is probably more valuable, I'm quite certain, than the Ira Kaufman discount itself. If you're not sure what you're doing, you need to make a fleet purchase, whatever it is, he will help you, and that is invaluable. BillCurryFord.com. We'll talk a little later, Ira, about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, two-time customer of Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have any disaster at your property, mold, fire damage.
Five-star Google reviews everywhere.
Wind damage, terrible. Wind blows.
Why are you looking at me when you say wind?
A lot of hot air over there. Anything that happens, you're the water damage whisperer. Anything that happens, water damage, you call them first to get a free evaluation. And you go from there. We'll talk about it. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Get there now. So, Ira, look, this game on Saturday. You know, let's just talk a little bit about the game. Did you like the energy of the Bucks? What did you like? Let's go positive out of the gate.
I didn't see an overwhelming amount of energy, but I saw more energy. More excitement along the sidelines when somebody made a play, when Parrish picked off the pass. The past 6 weeks, you know, it would have been a tomb. And the fans got into it, too. I talked to our photographer after the game. I asked him what the crowd was like, and he was still ringing out from all the rain. And he said they were really into it from the start. Loud.
Wow.
As loud as they've been all year.
Really?
So it's nice to know that there were still some Buck fans that cared about this team. Lee, the defense played pretty well. The rush defense was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Now, I didn't see Bijan Robinson out there for Carolina.
But they have a decent running back.
They had a decent running game. You know, Dowdle's done some things. And we know Hubbard was a 1,000-yard rusher last year and lost his job to Dowdle. So that's Carolina's bread and butter. They don't want to throw the ball 35 times like Young did. So in that respect, the Bucks. I thought the Bucks deserved to win. I thought they outplayed them. But again, you know, 4th-and-8, breakdown. Breakdown. I'm not going to kill Parrish. Parrish is going to be a pretty good player.
He already is, I think.
Made a big play. You know, it looked like the Bucks wanted it a little more than Carolina because I think Carolina thought.
You got that impression,
yeah,
huh?
The odds are we're going to get in with Atlanta. I'm not saying Carolina didn't want to win the game.
Wait a minute. Before the podcast, you said that you didn't like the fact that the Bucks had this weird aura that it's not winning you're in, and Carolina has it. And you thought that that was going to be something. Now you're telling me they didn't.
I didn't see too much juice on the Carolina sideline. I'm pleased to say I thought the Bucks were more excited.
Bucks outplayed them.
I thought the Bucks had more energy. I don't know about more energy than Carolina, but they had more energy than in recent weeks. And I talked to a couple Bucks players that admitted that. That, yeah, we did. I didn't go into
the first half. I thought the Bucks were clearly dominating. with a capital D.
First drive,
especially. And without that interception, I think Carolina's down by two touchdowns in the first half. That gave Carolina a spark.
Oh, Baker Mayfield's interception.
It was a bad interception by Mayfield. Bad.
Well, I tell you what, if Jacob Parrish didn't get that pick, they lose. They lose that game.
Bucks scored on the opening drive, and then
went turtle.
The next nine
they play conservative.
The next nine possessions, they scored 9 points. It's horrible.
Sounds like the week before.
No more touchdowns.
Sounds like the week before.
Sounds like in Miami. Exactly.
Well, I was appalled, and I think, by the way, to watch Ira mingle is beautiful. Oh, and you talked about the bench, Ira, real quick. My seat, you know, we sit next to each other. I don't know about you, but my seat, not only can I not see the Bucks bench, but the sideline, maybe 3 yards into the field, I don't see the sideline. I got to watch the TVs.
Block obstructed view. View.
Obstructed
That's
view.
That's because you're munching on a Cuban sandwich.
No, it's because I'm a short shit. The drive they had to end the first half, I was about ready to lose my mind.
Lee was screaming. Screaming about
the
play
I was
call.
Waiting for someone to tell
you
me to
chill
out.
You're mad at Bowles or you're mad at Grizzard? Well, what are you mad at?
Whoever was responsible. I have a hunch it was Bowles.
So you're saying they weren't aggressive. They weren't
My gosh. You score a touchdown, get there, the game's over. And it was like just no urgency whatsoever. They're draining the clock. They're running these motions. They're with the snap count, Mayfield's draining 9, 10, 11 seconds off. Come on, guys. You got a chance to score a touchdown.
There was a lot of time when the Bucs got possession.
You got Mike Evans. You've got Chris Godwin. Auden was having the best game of the year. Use these guys. You can put these guys away. But nope. We're going to make sure to play it close. So we set the other team up to win. It just drives me. You know, and this is what drives me crazy about Bowles. I love Bowles. I don't like him as a coach so much. As a human being, he's awesome. I know he sat with us. He talked with us. And I learned from him. I really do. But I cannot figure out. I'll never forget the time he sat with me and was talking to me about the joys of Mike Leach. And then stuff like that happens, like Saturday night, is the polar opposite of what Leach would do. It's like, wait a minute, is that the same guy telling me Leach knows what he's talking about? Is this the same guy telling me you got to score points?
At his heart, he's a conservative coach, Steve. There's no getting around it. He believes that turnovers make the difference and play good defense. Run the ball and win the turnover battle, and you'll win most of the games. And to an extent, it worked in 2024, to an extent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's one for you, and I love to twist the dagger into the PFF tribe. The PFF tribe, they foam at the mouth over Kansas, and not in a good way. They despise Kansas. I think they call him like a third string or a backup one. They absolutely just...
After the game, Bowles said Kansas made the difference.
Well...
You mean they put something out fresh about Kansas?
Oh, they always do. I don't read them regularly, but I know enough. I've seen enough of their videos. They cannot stand Kansas. I mean, they act like he's kneeling Akeem Spence or something. So anyway, do you find it interesting? And again, this is the dagger twisting inside the PFF tribe that they don't know what they're talking about. Kansas comes back his first game, and the Bucks hold a decent running team to 19 yards. And Bowles gave Kansas the credit. And here the PFF tribe, oh, he can't stop the run. I just find that lovely.
We've deflated those guys so many times in the podcast.
They give us so much ammo.
And we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep doing
Thank
it.
Thank you.
You know.
Well, Sage, I got to at least throw it out there that they only handed off 12 times. I mean, this is not a very big sample size.
20 yards, though.
20 yards.
I'm saying it's not a huge sample size. They got away
from it. Wasn't a huge sample size because they weren't effective.
Bingo.
They had to move away from it.
They're not a passing
team. Okay, well, one of those was a screwed up flea flicker, so that doesn't even count. That was just moronic. So we're talking 9 handoffs that were legitimate. A couple of them were just slips in the backfield. The announcers on television explained that the Panther Dowdle changed his shoes because he had the wrong shoes on. I'm not going crazy because it's not a big enough sample size. Excellent job they did. I'm not knocking
The long
anything.
Run was 5 yards, Steve.
We're talking 9 legitimate handoffs.
What's an illegitimate handoff? What Baker Mayfield did?
The flea flicker, when the guy stopped and threw it back.
I thought Baker Mayfield tackling his own running back would be an illegitimate handoff.
The guy going for the flea flicker and throwing it backwards and that for a 3-yard loss. For a turnover.
Well, they played it well enough for the offensive coordinator to change his game plan. Going in, you're going to run the ball.
I am not knocking the Bucs defense. I'm saying it's a very small sample size to say that Kalijah Kansi saved the world. That's what I'm saying. Handoffs. 9.
Saved the world.
On a wet field.
Bowles said Kansi brought energy.
He brought energy during the week of practice is what he was talking
about.
No
tackles, though.
He also mentioned bringing energy overall. Jason Light on the Buccaneers Radio Network pregame show also talked about Cansey and the raised practice energy and everything. Cansey played half the game, half the snaps. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't get to see him in the playoffs. But I can't go crazy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, whoever you want to give the credit to, I mean, the Buck defense played a very solid game.
They got the job done.
They got the job done very, very well. Very, very well.
I didn't like the 4th and 8 long pass. I didn't like it. Wide open, no help down the middle of the field.
It's almost to be expected with this defense, you know?
Well, it's Todd Bowles going with the all-out blitz. It hasn't worked in a long time, and he went for it. You know?
Is that a team you really got to do an all-out blitz against? You got one guy to cover. What?
Yeah, the Ted offensive.
Well,
that's it.
That guy's good.
Interesting thing, Ira, Bryce Young with his 35 attempts, no sacks. He was hit once.
Yeah.
It's hard to win a game.
We mentioned that.
In the NFL. Yeah. To just hit a quarterback once when he throws 35
times.
It was
Cansey, yeah.
But there was contested passes. Not all of them. But there were contested passes.
Well, congratulations, Bucks.
Yeah, I mean,
well, Steve, it's 35, a difference.
35
it's
times.
Difference.
35 times. Look, the defense did the job. They obviously wanted to run the ball like crazy, and they did. I don't know what happens up in the ownership suite when they're watching a tight game and they see one target to Chris Godwin. One reception by Mike Evans.
Yeah, that was stunning. That was stunning.
I mean, why are they paying them?
Yeah, one target for Godwin.
All that money. And now you've also got a quarterback who, frankly, you guys may disagree. I thought he looked completely healthy in this game.
Baker?
He initiated contact intentionally on the first couple of runs. He mentioned it afterwards, but it was obvious on the video. There was nothing he wasn't doing in this game.
He threw some nice balls. The touchdown to Otten was a nice ball.
Yes, it was, by the way. Yes, it was. And thank goodness they're using the tight end down the field for a change. Let's wait till we're damn near almost out of the playoffs to break it out. I mean, come on. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw it, but, you know, Steve was suggesting that Mayfield's healthy. He maybe is. I don't know.
He looked very healthy. That's
I do know that his wife put out on Instagram a couple of photos of him watching the slimy Saints Dixie Chicks game, and he had a big, long wrap like a sleeve on his leg.
Oh.
His right leg. I didn't watch one play of that damn game.
Shall we discuss the elephant in the room, Steven?
Not an elephant.
Are we going to talk about Kalijah Cansey for half an hour?
We're talking about Alabama now?
No, elephant. It's Todd Bowles. It's Todd
Bowles. That's what I'm saying.
Of course. That's what we're going to talk about right here. Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira. If you mention Ira when you call, a Joe Bucks fan, when you first call and you've got that disaster, it's 24/7. You don't want to wait because they're going to come out and give you a free evaluation. You mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan, you'll get $500 back if you end up needing their services. Remember, they have decades of experience on the insurance side of the business, so they know how to navigate all that stuff and make sure you get what's coming to you because, you know, restoration could be many tens of thousands of dollars, and that money's there for you. You're paying your home insurance. Got to make sure you're working with somebody who's going to get it and get the job done. Get to their website. It should be in your disaster plan, floridaselite-restoration.com. All right, Ira. So, a lot of nonsense going on. A lot of nonsense.
Let me start.
We're screaming before the podcast. Stuff's getting thrown.
They won 8 games. I thought they would win 11. That's a bad season. It's a really bad season, whether you want to say they underachieved, this and that. You can talk about injuries. You can talk about Reddick doing nothing. The fact is, I thought they were going to win 11 games. They fell far short. And they lost to a lot of teams that they had no business losing.
True.
So, I'll start it off just like that. What does that mean about Todd Bowles' future? It's in the hands of the people that write the checks, Lee. Yeah. It always is. It's not in Jason Light's hands. And don't even throw that out there, Steve. Owners step in when it comes to the head coach.
Please repeat for our listeners what you just said about Light.
It's not in Light's hands. It's not in Light's hands. He will take his marching orders from the G-Boys. And I don't think he's going to argue with it. If the G-Boys want to get rid of Bowles, Bowles is out. I don't think Light's going to stand on a table for Bowles.
Why not? Fair question. Why not?
I don't think he thinks that he's the next Bill Parcells.
Okay. I would agree with that. I just want to ask you why. Because if he doesn't think that, then what are they doing?
Well, the Glazers might look at it differently. You know, the Glazers look at it that they're not the guys that pick the groceries and Light is. So general managers tend to think it's a stacked roster. It's stacked. Yeah. Well,
they do.
Well, it's not stacked. It's not. And one of the reasons I thought they would win 11 games, I thought Reddick was worth one win. Maybe. He gives him an extra win from 10 to 11.
Didn't he get a game-sealing sack? He was better than he was with the Jets. I'll give him that.
You know, the offense, did they underachieve? Maybe not, given the offense, given the injuries on the offensive side of the ball. See, I think that's the problem with making the case for Bowles is that 70% of the problems were on his side of the ball, and most of the injuries were on the offensive side of the ball.
Yes.
That is a tough equation to square.
And do you think it's fair to question why Light at the trade deadline did not go out and get somebody to play guard rather than sift through the city landfill?
I think part of it, Lee, part of it is he likes to hoard the draft picks.
Those coveted draft picks.
And they don't have 11 draft picks coming up.
Okay.
I think they got 7.
Okay.
Having said that, I think maybe they thought they could get by, and they couldn't get by because it affected everything. The run game was not anywhere near what it was.
No, it was not. You're right.
No, it was not.
Not even in the preseason. I remember Steve and I in Pittsburgh, and Steve was telling me that this running game does not look good. And I got flashbacks from 2022. I remember in preseason, the pass game and the run game didn't look good. And that was in preseason. And it never improved. And I think you can make a similar case.
Steve, I'll throw it to you. Hold on.
I'm going to have a heart attack here with
never
this.
Mind. I'm going to throw it to you. In many ways, the story of the 2025 Bucks was lousy defense in many ways. And nobody can argue with that. Lousy defense.
Look.
Does that make you a little happier, Steve?
No, it doesn't make me happy at all. It's a terrible Bucks season. I'm going to be in pain for a long time. Since the bye week. So that's 9 games? 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, 9 games.
9 games. The Buccaneers averaged a tick. I think it was 20.2 points a game.
Not very good.
That's horrible. with your starting quarterback, with weapons around, it never improved. And I am not blaming Jason Light because they couldn't score more than 17 on the Dolphins. What we saw yesterday, I'm not blaming that on Jason Light, the game plan. I mean, they could have put up more points. Falling apart the one time you did score points.
I can't believe
points.
You're trying to focus on the offense. I'm stunned.
Well, no, I'm talking about the offense right now because you're telling me the groceries weren't there with Jason Light. Why did they score 28 points in a tick over 3 quarters against the Falcons? And then the next 3 weeks, with no new injuries, the offense went in the toilet. That's on Jason Light. Something's very wrong with the team. I'm not saying it's all on Bowles, but whatever was going on, the offense had serious issues.
Doesn't call the offensive plays.
He's the head coach, Ira. He can have a lot of influence. I believe Todd Bowles is a very smart guy who has studied offenses for decades. He can get in there and mix it up with his offensive coordinator. I'm just saying, I believe the head coach and the offensive coordinator woefully underachieved with the talent they had. I think Light gave them enough for, even with the injuries, to win 10.
I don't think you're factoring in the offensive injuries enough.
Okay.
I don't. I think they were significant. They were long-lasting. Even Tristan Wirfs, Lee, wasn't the real Tristan Wirfs for much of this season.
He banged up. Yeah, he started banged up and he ended banged up.
Gedeke missed half the year. He had one terrible game when he shouldn't have even been out there the way he played that game.
I still think Barton's progression was subdued because he was moving around.
You got the Bucky Irving saga. Who knows what the hell was going on? I'm not blaming Light for that, but I'm just trying to say these things happened.
I know. I'm not blaming Light. I think.
But I kicked it over to you saying that the story of the Bucks was lousy defense, and now you're trying to talk about Graham Barton.
I'm trying to talk about you saying that Light didn't give him enough. I think he gave Todd Bowles way more than enough, even with
the
injuries.
That's not Bowles' side of the ball. He doesn't interfere that much on the offense.
He's the head coach, Ira.
He doesn't interfere.
That's his problem. That's his fault.
That was
the downfall of Dirk Koetter.
Who hired the offensive coordinator? Bowles had to agree to that.
Bowles and Light. If Light didn't want Grizzard, Grizzard's not here.
You can say the same thing about Bowles, right?
Yeah, yes, you can.
I don't think Bowles would ever, if he didn't want a coach, he wouldn't be here.
There's plenty of blame to go around. I'm going to put it, let's play a numbers game. I'm going to put
7-9.
86% of the blame on Bowles and 14% on Light.
I don't want to break down the Bowles and Light thing.
Lee, you want to put a number on it?
I like the offensive talent, Lee. I like the offensive talent.
No less than 85% Bowles, no more than 15% Light. I have an issue that Light didn't upgrade at guard. I'm sure he was telling people, well, we hope. No, don't bank on hope. I know he covets his draft picks, but son of a gun, you can't tell me you couldn't have gotten a backup. Like when I say backup, I'm talking about second string guard on his last year of his contract. You couldn't have gotten a guy for a six-round draft pick? I mean, come on. He stood pat. Now, maybe, and I don't know this, I'm just going to take an educated guess, maybe teams knew He was trying to get a guard, so the cost was high. They were trying to rob him, and he wasn't gonna pay the ransom. Okay, but still, something should have been done.
I think you guys have a major blind spot when it comes to the general manager. A major one.
I'm just looking at the talent.
The front seven is not very good. The players are not very good. The players are not very good.
Well,
on the front seven.
I know you're
and
not.
Lee, you can talk all you want about development.
Yep, I will too.
But are you trying to tell me that DeMeco Ryans is going to develop Chris Braswell?
Yeah, better than what Bowles did.
Maybe Braswell's no good.
He could be no good, but I guarantee he'll get more out of him than Bowles will, because Bowles has a 15-year record. Maybe 20-year record.
Yeah, 20-year record of chasing Patrick Mahomes around the Super Bowl.
You're asking me to
When he had talent.
You're asking me to evaluate the front seven from a talent standpoint. So that means, what grade do I give Jason Light for the front seven?
And no Cansey.
Well, that's a fact.
I can't knock Light for Cansey getting hurt. So you had Cansey and Vea. And you've got a combination of Jason Light not being good at drafting edge rushers and Todd Bowles not being good at developing edge rushers. What an ugly combination. There was nothing they could do about Levante David, franchise icon.
35.
He was coming back. They had to give him a shot. And everybody misevaluated Servacier Dennis.
Yep.
Now, I put that on Light and Bowles equally because, obviously, it's a critical position. And they did it 2 years in a row. They thought K.J. Britt could do it. He couldn't. They thought Dennis could do it. He stayed healthy, and he couldn't do it. So that's on them.
Light procures the talent. Don't try to shove this over to Bowles. Light procures the talent. Otherwise, why does Light have a job? That's his job.
Yeah, but
He drafted Dennis,
and Bowles evaluated and developed Dennis for 3 years and two years and said, this guy is a starter. We don't need you to get somebody else, Jason.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Bowles put it on both of them. To Steve's point, I'm sure before the season, if Bowles thought that Dennis was that much of a hole in the starting lineup, he said, Jace, we can't set. We got to go get somebody. And Mike probably would have done that.
It's on both of them for me.
Yeah, I'm not saying
some of the positions. The interior guys.
They made a $14 million mistake with Reddick. It was a big mistake.
Well, I'm going to tell you something here that you may
not
like.
Not only the money, but the fact is we got Reddick, so now we don't need anybody else.
Well,
so it's a multiple factor.
I'm going to raise my hand about Reddick. I screamed to sign him. You know, everybody said, why would you sign him? Look what he did with the Jets. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, look what he did before he was with the Jets for like 6 or 7 years. He was one of the best sack people in the league. And you're going to get mad at me when I say this. Number one, we all know Bowles just does not care nor ever will about an edge rush. And that is a absolute fundamental core problem with me and Bowles. We just have two different concepts of what defense
I need you to find me that quote from Bowles. I need you to find me that.
Well, how many times does he have to say, we ask him to do other things? How many times does he have to say that? He said it about a month ago.
He did explain on your podcast, Ira, at the bye week, that, you know, double-digit sack guy is not very valuable anymore. And he said that's not the way the league's going. He said, you know, edge guy, if he gets seven, that's great. He said that on the podcast, saying that you don't have the big edge guys anymore. You know, ironically, there were plenty of big edge guys this year.
Well, he did say that. This year they only got 37 sacks. That's not a high total.
To follow up with Reddick, you call me guilty because I wanted them here. I thought I would roll the dice on a guy that's got a significant resume as opposed to one awful year. Really awful. And he did have a better year than he had with the Jets.
All right, so what are you saying in January when he got hurt, 2026?
When he got hurt, I can't stand pressures. I think pressures are nonsense. It's only stat geeks think pressures mean the difference. But Bowles seems to value them.
Keep going.
When Reddick got hurt, both Reddick and Yaya were top 10 in the league in pressures. Now, I don't think that's worth anything, but if Bowles was asking him, we want pressures, including other things he asks him for, well, then he wasn't a complete waste at that time. And I'm being devil's advocate here. Maybe he was, you know, following orders. This is what Bowles is saying. This is what we want you to do. We value pressures, I'm assuming here. And if that was the case, well, he was doing okay until he got hurt.
That sounds good, but he was brought here for one reason, put a guy on his ass. He didn't do it.
Yep.
He didn't do it.
All right, Sage, look, we're going to go 10 minutes on the state of Todd Bowles, and we're going to get out of here because things are changing fast. We want people to be able to listen.
We might have to do another one tomorrow.
Well, tonight, we might have to do another one.
Who knows what's going to happen? All right. So Adam Schefter after doing all kinds of digging.
And this is a pregame.
He gets on a 1 o'clock pregame show today, Sunday, and basically doesn't have a definitive answer on the state of Todd
Bowles. Around the league.
He goes around the league. Who's safe, who's not. He says, quote, he's leaning safe. The Glazers don't want to fire him, but we'll see.
By the way, he had almost every guy listed as safe. Almost every guy. Including Gannon in Arizona?
Wow.
I mean, yeah.
But that was the consensus going around other media. They don't want to fire him, but we'll see. Great reporting there. They don't know is what it means.
Well,
now,
hold on. We have somebody close to the organization. Close. That doesn't think Bowles is going to make it. So I'm going to throw that out there, too. Close to the organization.
Whoa,
so
it's breaking news here?
It's unknown. What's unknown is really what the Glazers think, and that's really what this comes down to. And we don't know how they want to treat Todd Bowles, right? Because obviously Bowles, I'm sure his wife is asking him, what's going on? You're keeping your job? All his assistant coaches, this is how the NFL works. They're asking him, what's going on? Do we need to be looking for jobs, Todd? What's going on? People are texting Arians, hey, Bruce, what are you hearing? You know, he knows all those guys.
Now, Lee, in a sense, no matter what the decision is on Bowles, if I'm one of those assistant coaches, I'm thinking, certain ones, I'm out of here. Even if Bowles comes back.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody's got to pay the price.
I mean, sort of like what Casey Rogers did. He beat the there's a cliche.
Steve, somebody's got to pay the price for 8-9. Somebody.
The Glazers
it's not
have to
be light.
The Glazers have to decide, I think, if they want to figuratively look fans in the face and say this guy's a good coach. We just had a bad year.
Which might be their attitude.
Most fans aren't going to buy that. So they have to decide if they want to go through a season of him on a broiling hot seat. Fans booing them if they go 2-4 and not a lot of patience and hearing over and over, we got to coach it better, we got to play it better, and and let him run the defense that really has some issues. I don't know. And if Bowles comes back, Grizzard comes back, jury's still out on Grizzard.
I don't know about Grizzard coming back. Lee, the wrath of the fans, think in any way was shaped by the way the season went with the fast start, did that have anything to do with it? What if they were 4-4 at the bye week and they finish 8-9?
So you're saying by now they would be out of steam, screaming and hollering?
No, but I'm just saying it raised everybody's expectation. Now, I thought they were going to win 11 games before the season started.
Well, I think anytime you have
that 6-2 start and then the collapse, and it was a collapse. No getting around it. It was a collapse. Did that accentuate the wrath of the fans?
Well, I think anytime you have expectations and they're not even close to being met, I think that's a factor. And I think it's a factor for everyone, whether your last name's Glazer or you mow the lawn at One Buck Palace.
Let me bring this up. Let's talk about this. In the discussions between the Glazers, including Darcy, so I don't want to say just the Glazer
Cognac
boys.
Cognac in hand?
Yeah, the whole family.
and Brian's library in Palm Beach?
Lee, could this come up in the discussion? Like, we were 6-2 and we were more injured than we were during the collapse. Somebody's got to answer that question. How did that happen?
I think it's very fair.
That's fair, right?
Yes, I think
Steve,
it's very
that's
fair.
That's fair.
Just chalk me down on the chalkboard over here. You lost all four games in December against poor teams.
Inferior opponents.
Good night. Good night, nurse, as you like to say.
What if I say the Niners had a bad year 2 or 3 years ago and they won 6 games?
What does that
games?
Have to do with being...
And nobody was screaming for Shanahan's head. No
well, Shanahan's got a little bit better of a
Super
resume
Bowls.
Than,
he's
yeah.
He's been to Super Bowls,
He's got a better resume.
He's also...
Body of work.
A top flight...
He's also got a better roster.
He's also offensive-minded head coach, and that's what owners want to cling to. You know,
they don't like the revolving door of offensive coordinators.
You know, you mentioned... Bowles, if he stays, we've talked about new defensive coordinator, whatnot. But I'm gonna mollusk in on you.
I don't understand that defensive coordinator one.
I do.
That one I don't understand.
You're telling me before, screaming at me here. Todd Bowles is not involved in the offense. It's not his thing. You can't hang that on him. Okay, well,
and we screamed about him with Leftwich. Get in there. Don't let him do his thing.
If Bowles wants to be, or the Glazers want him to be, this CEO-style head coach with a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator, well, the defensive coordinator is going to do his own thing because they don't want Bowles to touch it anymore, and Bowles doesn't like to touch the offense. So what is he doing? He obviously can't manage special teams.
I don't know they ever looked at him as a CEO type. Well, he's here to take care of the defense.
Oh, he took care of it all right.
And, construct a culture that we're proud of, which I think they are.
Bingo. That is so overlooked. What you just said, and fans despise it, and I get it. I understand. But right there, the owners love the culture.
Steve, you don't care about that culture club.
I care about the culture a lot, but the culture failed the team. They never looked in the last month of this since the bye. They didn't look like a rip-your-lungs-out football team. We fight like animals.
That's fairly. That's fair.
I don't want that culture.
That's fairly. I'm not going to argue with it.
And, of course, and people have a point, like, and we know
I don't always argue with you, Steve. Not always.
There are a lot of Bucks fans out there, and we know one intimately that is, even though he knows why Light didn't draft him, and he knows why Light drafted Emeka Buka, and I still think that was a steal. What happened to him the last half of the year, I don't know. But they see James Pierce playing today when they were watching Atlanta.
Pierce.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got another 2 sacks.
And they're like, this team is screaming for an edge rusher. And this guy was out there. And even though they understand that Light was not going to touch him because his background was horrible, that doesn't matter to them. Like, you got to win games. That means you got to bring in an axe murderer. You bring in an axe murderer.
But I don't notice a backlash against Light on that. I haven't noticed it yet.
Oh, I have. Pierce, yeah. Okay. People are upset.
So he was sitting there, and they could have taken him.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know about the axe murderer, but, you know.
The Georgia guy was gone, but Pierce was there.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure the culture that is so celebrated
works.
Helped them down the stretch this year. I don't know if it really did. So
that's fair,
that's
Steve.
Something to think about. I don't know. I can't imagine a world where Todd Bowles comes back and fans feel good about it, and that sucks. It is supposed to be an entertainment product.
Steve, I don't know if you looked at it, but look at our Twitter feed, the mentions. People are just irate about the fact that Bowles may come back. They're going nuts.
Hey, to be fair, they didn't like him when he won. They didn't like him when he won.
He's never been popular. You're right. But, I mean, now, and you've seen our polls, now it's like over the top.
It is.
I'll set a scene for people. Now, the people who want to run Jason Light, this is up your alley.
I don't want to run Jason Light.
I don't either.
I want him to draft an edge rusher.
But this is an observation. Even when I was in college, I thought to be a decent reporter, you had to be the eyes and ears of your reader. And this is one of those examples. Just for some background, when Mark Dominick was fired, Rockstar General Manager Mark Dominick, I can't remember, someone, maybe it was you, Ira, someone interviewed him.
So
after
he went out when Shiano went out.
Same day.
Yeah, all right.
I think it was you, Ira. Someone asked him after he was fired, did you have any kind of inkling this was coming? And he said, yeah, I had an idea. And whoever the last game was of the season, that season they got fired, whoever that game Bucks played, he said the Glazers avoided him. And when he did get a chance to talk to him, he had questions. And they were very evasive. And he's like, this sounds bad.
So their mind's made up. Yeah, their mind's
so
made up.
With that background and knowledge.
Kind of like when you call him.
with that background setting the scene, when I walked into the Bucks locker room last night, right at the entrance, huddled together, was Mike Greenberg, Jason Light, Joel Glazer. Now, remember what I just said about Dominick? The Glazers were avoiding him.
Were the other Glazers there too?
Just Joel Glazer. I mean, other Glazers were there as far as in the building.
Okay.
You saw him. You saw him.
Yeah, sir.
You know, the receiving line after the game. But this particular corner of the locker room, right by the entrance, was just three people. Joel Glazer, Jason Light, Mike Greenberg. So given the fact that I just said that Dominick had mentioned the last game of the year, the Glazers were avoiding him, and then here I see Light and Glazer and Greenberg talking together, just based on that and what Dominick said when he got fired, doesn't sound like Light's going anywhere.
No, Light's not going anywhere.
I said that only for the minority of readers out there. Now, they are a minority that want Light gone.
Those readers are misguided. That's not going to happen.
I kind of think so.
You know, investiture. He's got street cred with the Glazers, and he should.
Yeah,
and he should.
A ring. Yeah.
Ira, before the season, I looked up. Before this, after last year's playoff loss, a week later, I did the Todd Bowles confidence poll, the final one of that year, and 46% said little confidence. And 17% said no confidence. So basically, 63% of Bucks fans were down on Bowles. Now it's over 90. I feel bad for the fans. It's nice to like your coach and to believe in him, and they don't believe in him.
I was talking to Ira about this the other night, and I used this particular word I'm going to repeat, and Ira liked it. The residue of Cooper Kupp.
Wow.
Bowles will never be able to wash that off.
That's amazing. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Of course, Cooper Kupp was maybe the best player in the league.
I would have voted him MVP. Yeah.
He was. You know, he won the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, speaking of edge rush, I'm just going to throw this
edge
in
rush.
There. I'm just going to throw this in.
The season's over.
I'm going to throw this in there. No, I'm not talking about the Buck edge rush.
I know.
Who's got the best defense in football? The Houston Texans. Why? Primarily,
that guy
they got
Alabama.
Two monsters. Will Anderson.
Will Anderson.
And Danielle Hunter.
Oh, Hunter,
who
yes.
they stole from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Who you wanted on the Bucks.
Yeah.
You get those two animals.
You got a defense.
And they got a really good corner named Stingley.
Yeah.
And a good middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm. You got a
defense. Best defense in football.
And what I wanted to put out there. Cause
which the Bucks, you know, we were talking about the Bucks earlier. Bucks beat them on the road.
And that's why I don't want to beat up the Bucks secondary that much. Because I think quarterbacks have been too comfortable, way too comfortable this year.
Yeah.
Especially Cousins. Drives you crazy. Cousins, come on.
He's the only guy that...
Come on. Yeah, yeah. Kirk
so
Cousins.
Just to uplift fans a little bit before we get out of here, all right?
So they don't jump off the bridge.
And we're on full coach watch, okay?
We're on coach watch.
We don't know what's going to happen.
And we don't say anything definitively that he's coming back. We don't say that.
No. 8-9, missed the playoffs. It's hard to believe all the Glazers are in unison on what to do. We'll see. Probably going to have an answer very, very, very soon. Now, just to give fans a little bit of uplifting news... On your favorite topic, Ira, but I'll remind everybody, BillCurryFord.com. Shop today, BillCurryFord.com. And, of course, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have any disaster at your property, call them first for a free inspection. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. You look at your top edge rushers in the league this year, Ira. You got Brian Burns out there.
Very good.
He was on the market. Don't tell me you don't. The edge rushers aren't on the market. Danielle Hunter, he played for another team. Don't tell me you can't find one of these guys floating around.
Now, you're not getting Myles Garrett. Throw that one out. You're not getting them.
Well, I'm saying
yeah.
Parsons was on the move this year, and obviously he got hurt, but made a difference when he was out there. Josh Sweat, he was on the move this year.
Well said, Steve.
A guy you could get. And then you look at rounding it out at the bottom of the top guys this year. Byron Young, a guy drafted in the third round. Max Crosby. The guy drafted in the second round. Don't tell me you can't find an edge rusher. They're out.
Are you trying to make my points for me, Steve?
Well, I'm saying you got to find these guys. Don't say they're not out there because the list of the great guys, most of them weren't top draft picks.
And Atlanta might have landed one in Pierce. Like, yeah. We'll see. We'll see. He could go off the deep end, Pierce.
Yeah, yeah,
he could.
Yeah, yeah. Ira, maybe this will be more palatable for you. You know, you and I bump heads, to be polite, about edge rusher.
That's the only thing we bump heads on.
Todd Bowles is the Dave Duncan of the NFL.
Dave Duncan? He was a catcher for the Athletics or something.
And a longtime pitching coach for Tony Liberson. That guy couldn't develop a mac and cheese dinner from Kraft. But you give him a veteran pitcher, look out. He rehabbed so many veteran pitchers.
Turned them around?
Oh, turned around, won World Series with them. I could go on and on about the veteran pitchers he got. They were like, you may have thought they were
are
over the hill.
Are you saying you want Dave Duncan on the Buck sidelines?
Well, what I'm saying is that's Todd Bowles. Yeah. You give him guys that are already developed that are in the league as far as edge rushers, he gets something out of them. You give him a rookie, forget about it. It's a waste of career.
And I forgot, Tuli Tuipulotu of the Chargers.
Also a good player.
13 sacks, edge rusher. Second round pick, middle of the second round in 2023.
They're out there.
They're
gotta
out there.
Find them.
We gotta get one. All right, Ira, we'll
we
track
may be
you
back
down.
Tomorrow.
We'll
we
track
may
you
be.
Down. Go Bucks.